As you know, John the Baptist, greatest man born of woman, so heralded by Jesus Christ as such, baptized Jesus, heard the audible voice of God, filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, the scripture tells us. And yet, when he was in the dungeon, awaiting execution, he did what a lot of us do when our circumstances turn against us. He doubted. Can Jesus really be the Messiah? And he lets me suffer here. And so he sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you he, or do we look for another? Those are strange words coming from the lips of such a great man. But it happens to all of us. Times of doubt, when we're not where we want to be, where things are happening to us we never expected. And Jesus sent word back to John, tell John of all the things that you see, all the healings and miracles. But he concluded by saying this to John, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in or because of me. And Jesus said that because John was being offended at Jesus Christ. Not only did he doubt Christ, he was offended at what Christ was doing and what he wasn't doing. And you notice it says, blessed is he then, whosoever. Because whosoever means anyone. If it can happen to John, it can happen to us. Blessed is that person who is not offended because of where the Lord is leading us. The Greek word for offense is scandalizo. It means to put a stumbling block or an impediment in the way upon which another may trip or fall, to offend, to entice to sin, to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey, to cause to fall away, to be offended, to cause one to judge unfavorably, and then also to cause displeasure at a thing, to make indignant, to be displeased. That's what John the Baptist was. He was very much displeased at what Jesus was doing to others and not for him. You know, when Jesus came, part of his ministry was to be a stumbling stone. We read this in the Gospel, a book of Romans, chapter 9. In one place, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Jesus causes people to stumble. His word is a stumbling stone. And so that begs the question, why did Jesus come as a stumbling block to people? Why do people stumble at Jesus? We read in Acts chapter 13, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, those are to the Jews, but seeing you put it far from you, or from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Why did Christ come as a stumbling stone, especially to the Jews, but not to the Jews only, to see who would be worthy? And the Jews stumbled at Christ because he spoke of faith, he spoke of his blood, he spoke of the cross, and not of the law, and they stumbled at that. And they thought themselves now to be unworthy. Aren't we all unworthy of Christ? Yes. But when God calls us, we are to act worthily. You see, before he calls us, we are unworthy. But once he calls us, once we hear our name being called by him, as Paul says here to Thessalonians, that you would walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom and glory. And so when Jesus called the Jews first, most rejected it. They stumbled at himself, his teachings, that he was the way. They thought themselves unworthy. They made themselves unworthy of the gift. To receive the call, you do nothing worthy. I take you back to, we prayed for homeless people. Take you back to this picture of a homeless man. He is destitute. He has no income. He barely has food. He only exists because of people's generosity. And lo and behold, one day a wealthy businessman comes his way. I think we all recognize him. And this wealthy businessman has compassion on him and says, "You poor, unworthy man, I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to make you an executive. I'm going to clean you up, put you in my office, and you'll work for me." And now what does that wealthy businessman expect? He expects that homeless man, when he accepts the call, to act worthy and walk worthily of that calling. And so, when Jesus calls people and they reject that call, they are showing themselves unworthy of it. So why is Jesus so offensive to the Jews and to the Gentiles? There's a family down in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, that just this Christmas they put up their lights, their ornaments, and they put up the name Jesus. But the homeowners association called them up and said, "You have to take down, not the lights, not the Santa Clauses if they're there, but you have to take down the name of Jesus because we've received calls from other homeowners that they are offended." That was the word they used. "We are offended at the name Jesus." The name of Jesus is offensive. But why? I broke it down into three reasons. Number one, exclusivity. He is the only way. Narrowness, which is about our discipleship. The way is narrow. And thirdly, what God demands of his disciples: sacrifice. Exclusivity, narrowness, and sacrifice. And for these three reasons, Jesus is offensive to people. First, exclusivity. In John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. All those that claim to be doors and pathways to salvation, they're thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, by me," this is offensive, "by me, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture." In Acts chapter 4, as the apostles were brought before council, "And know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected and stumbled over, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Exclusivity. Jesus only. Jesus said in John chapter 6, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And many of his disciples, the Bible says, were offended, and they followed him no more. Again, very familiar with John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And yet, if we were in a burning building, and the fireman said, there's only one way out, follow me, would we be offended? Of course not. We rejoice, we jump for joy that there's a way out of a burning building. And so God offers us one way out of damnation, one way out of sin, one way out of final judgment. It's Jesus Christ. And I, brethren, said the Apostle Paul, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. The cross is what causes offense. It's the way of the cross that leads home. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, said the Apostle Paul. Exclusivity. Jesus only is the only way. Narrowness. It's about our discipleship. Enter ye in at the strait gate, that's Jesus. The only gate, the only door. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many which be there, which go therein. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Narrow is the path which leads to life, and few there be that find it. The pathway that we are to walk once we enter the gate is very narrow. He restores my soul, said David. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's why Jesus is offensive. Because he leads us down the right path. Okay? Not down the crooked path. It's a straight path. David said, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. It's a pathway of obedience to God. Psalm 119. David says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Not only are we to love the narrow way of righteousness and obedience, we are to hate every false way. To hate it. Okay? Because thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, David, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. These are the paths that Jesus walked. Yes, God became a man, and he walked, and he said, come and follow me. Isaiah says, a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools shall not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed shall walk there. There's safety there, in the highway, on the highway called holiness. Exclusivity, Jesus only. Narrowness, it's the way of holiness. And sacrifice is what God demands of us. Before Jesus became that sacrifice on the cross, he said this, if any man come to me and hate not his father, means love less, father, mother, and wife, and children, brethren, sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The offense of the cross, as I brought out one Wednesday night, is not just for the unbelievers, but there are believers who are just as offended at the cross, the one they have to bear. They are displeased where God is leading them. They complain. They are offended at the cross that Jesus said you must bear. And so this message is for unbelievers and for Christians. Sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, says the Apostle Paul, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that means your whole life, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The word sacrifice, defined in the dictionary, is the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim, to surrender, to give up, or permit injury or disadvantage to for the sake of something else. Sacrifice. And we are to be living sacrifices. And why don't we want to be a living sacrifice? It's because of the Greek word. It means victim, right? Christ was a victim, and we are to be living victims. If you're a living sacrifice, you're a victim. You'll be victimized by the world. In Hebrews 13, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. You know why praise is a sacrifice? Because sometimes we'd rather complain, right? We'd rather moan. We'd rather be offended and displeased at what God has brought into our life. But we are to offer the sacrifice of praise. It's going to cost us. A sacrifice will always cost us. That is, sacrifice of praise to God continually, as without complaining. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, and then to do good and to communicate, forget not. By communicate isn't mean talk, but give. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now I want to take you to a new thought. We dare not take offense as John the Baptist did at what God is doing to us or not doing to us. We should not be displeased with where God leads us. And if you are, you're offended by God. You may distrust him, as John was. Can I trust you? Are you the Messiah? We may eventually fall away. But also, the new thought is this. We should not be offensive to others. The true gospel is so offensive, let me say that right, so offensive, all by itself. It doesn't need us to add anything offensive to it. We are not to give offense. James says, but be not many masters. Don't try to teach other people in the wrong spirit, for in many things we offend, on many things we stumble. But if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, complete man, able also to bridle the whole body. Okay. What does he mean by that? Well, let me take you to the Bible commentator Matthew Henry, who gives a good definition and understanding of that scripture. Therefore, be not many masters, that is, or teachers, as some read it, do not give yourselves the air of teachers, imposers, and judges, but rather speak with the humility and spirit of learners. Do not censure one another, as if all must be brought to your standard. This is reinforced by two reasons, says Henry. One, those who thus set up for judges and censors shall receive the greater condemnation. Our judging others will but make our own judgment the more strict and severe. Those who are curious to spy out the faults of others, and how true this is with many in the church, those who are curious to spy out the faults of others and arrogant in passing censures upon them may expect that God will be as extreme in marking what they say and do amiss. For Jesus said, with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Secondly, says Henry, another reason given against such acting the master, I know better for you, you listen to me, okay, when we're doing something sinful ourselves, is because we are all sinners, and many things we offend all. Where we think more of our own mistakes, I'm sorry, were we to think more of our own mistakes and offenses, we should be less apt to judge other people. While we are severe against what we count offensive in others, we do not consider how much there is in us which is justly offensive to them. Such justifiers are commonly self-deceivers. We are all guilty before God, and those who vaunt it over the frailties and infirmities of others little think how many things they offend in themselves. Nay, perhaps their magisterial deportment and censorious tongues may prove worse than any faults they condemn in others. Let us learn to be severe in judging ourselves, but charitable in our judgments of other people. The Apostle Paul commands us in 1 Corinthians, it's really God commanding us, give none offense. Give no one offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church. Those are the three groups of people. You have the Jews, the circumcised, the uncircumcised Gentiles, and the believing Christians. Do not offend the Jew, any Jew. Do not offend any Gentile. Do not offend any brother or sister in Christ. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. I want you to take notice of the connection, the very important connection that the Apostle Paul made here. He says, under the leading of God's Spirit, give no offense, that is no cause for stumbling, to the Jew, the Gentile, the believer. And here's the connection, that they may be saved. If you offend the Jew, you can't save him. If you offend the Gentile, he can't be saved. If you offend a brother or sister, they can't be saved. Paul says, do not offend the church, that they may be saved. Now, there's something in between there that's just as important. Again, he says, give no offense, no cause for stumbling to the Jew, the Gentile, or the believer, that they may be saved. But what's in the middle? Here is what is offensive. Pleasing all men in all things, not seeking my own profit. Give no offense to the Jew, by seeking your own profit. Do not give offense to the Gentile by living for yourself. Do not offend a brother and sister in Christ because you put yourself first. When you put yourself first, you are offending. How then can they be saved? We are putting a stumbling block in their path. Paul says to the Romans, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Here is why the gospel is so offensive. And there are Christians who are offended at this because they want to live for themselves. We are not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, building up. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. John the Baptist was offended in how Jesus was helping others, but not him. He thought he deserved better treatment by God. And so do we sometimes, don't we? Friends, we deserve to be treated as Jesus was. Dragged out of Jerusalem, stripped, beaten, and crucified. That's what we deserve. Give no offense, said the Apostle Paul. Do you know that John the Baptist, in being offended and displeased, was also offending his disciples? We read by it quickly, we don't see it. John the Baptist doubted that Christ was the Messiah. So he got two of his disciples who no doubt were ministering to him some way, maybe passing food through the bars. ask Jesus if he is the Messiah. And right there, they were offended. You know why? They stumbled. You know why? They should have said, John, are you crazy? Of course he's the Messiah. But because they went to ask Jesus that question, they too doubted as John did. Otherwise they would say, John, there's no doubt about it, John. We know he's the Messiah, John. Let's encourage you to believe, John. But no, they took that question because they too began to doubt. Give offense to no one. And Christians today, we offend in many ways the unbeliever. There's a sign a Christian had out in the front of their home. If the name Jesus offends you, well, Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's offensive. Just the name Jesus alone is offensive, but when you try to be offensive, as this person is, that's the only way I can read that. They're trying to offend those who are already offended. The gospel offends all by itself. That's why we must not offend. The Jew, the Gentile, or the believer. Here's a church sign that I found offensive. I found it offensive to the Jews. Jews killed the Lord Jesus. Now that's true, they had a part of it, didn't they? But I tell people I killed the Lord Jesus. He died for my sins too. A Jewish person would stumble at this. They already stumble at the name of Jesus, and now they're going to stumble more into hell. Because these Christians said, you killed Jesus. Here's another sign in the church I found offensive. If you don't love God, go to hell. Friends, if you don't love God, you are going to hell. The Apostle Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. But you don't say, go to hell. It's like you want them to go to hell. That's how I read that. If you don't love God, go to hell. I'm sure you all heard of the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas. They've been all over the news. God hates fags. God blew up the shuttle. God hates America. God hates fag enablers. Notice the girl on the right, she's smiling, isn't she? She's laughing. Some of what they say is true. You're going to hell, says this little boy in a sign, and he's smiling. As if he wants them to go to hell. Most people are going to hell. It's not just the children who are smiling. Here's a family. It's like the father and the daughter. God hates Muslims. Muslims die. God laughs. And they're smiling. As if it makes them happy when a Muslim dies. And I found a lot of smiling people from Westboro Baptist Church here. I think all of them, one girl's hiding her face behind the sign, I think she's smiling too. God hates fags. God hates your tears. God is your enemy. Some of these things are true. Why are they smiling? Because they think God is pleased at the death of the wicked, but that's not what the word of God says. Ezekiel 33:11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, whoever thy might be, Jew, Gentile, or Muslim, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? It's the way we talk to people that is offensive. The truth is offensive enough and it will offend. D.L. Moody, the great preacher, said, "I cannot preach on hell unless I preach with tears. I cannot preach on hell unless I preach with tears." God laughs when a Muslim dies? I don't think so. I know heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. That's what brings God joy, not the pleasure. No pleasure in the death of the wicked. "Give no offense," said the Apostle Paul. Friends, when we offend others, we offend God. Remember now, give no offense, what? That they might be saved. Perhaps you've stumbled someone in your family. Your behavior was ungodly, unchristian. And you expect them to be saved? No. Give no offense that they be saved. When we offend a Jew, I'm not saying offend with the gospel, but the way we present it, or with ungodly, unchristian love toward them, or if we offend a Muslim by ridiculing their religion, we do not accept their religion, we reject it, we know it's false, but we don't ridicule it, we don't ridicule them. They're lost. Do you ridicule a blind man? Well, that's what they are, they're blind. When we offend someone else, a brother or sister in Christ, cause them to stumble, we offend God. On judgment day, the sheep and the goats will be on the right and left hand of the Lord. Then he shall say to them on the left hand, the goats, "Depart from me, you cursed, and into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was sick, in prison, you did not visit me." Maybe you sent me a card, but you didn't visit. "Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you a hunger or a thirsty or a stranger, naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to thee?" And then Jesus answered, "Insomuch as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me." You offended them. By not loving them, you offend me. "You will not go to the cross," said Peter. But Jesus turned and said, "Peter, get thou behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense." Yes, Jesus was offended. Not that he stumbled into sin, though Satan was certainly trying to cause Christ to stumble. Jesus was displeased with Peter's pride and his arrogance, his boasting. I will not deny you. I will not forsake you. Peter, you are an offense to me, for you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Christian, all you have to do to offend God, offend our Lord Jesus Christ, is to savor the things of earth. Remember now, you're to take up the cross in self-denial and follow him. Mortify the deeds of the flesh, says the Apostle Paul. Now we see more evidence from Scripture that when we offend others, we offend God. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. "For if any man see thee, which has knowledge," Christian knowledge, "sit at meat or food, dinner at the in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols?" We'll stop right there. What does that mean? There was a practice of some Christians who knew that these temples of these false gods were nothing. These gods were not real. And the temple organizers might have had a nice buffet one day, and these Christians were hungry and they were poor. So they would go into the temple and have a meal. They weren't there to worship Athena or Zeus or anyone else. They just went there for food. But then there were those of weak conscience that at one time worshipped Athena, at one time worshipped Zeus, and they became a Christian. They thought, I'm never going to go back in that place again. The power of Satan is too strong. The darkness is too thick. I want to be as far away from those temples as I can. And so the one Christian who has knowledge that these gods are nothing goes in there and he eats. But the one of weak conscience is emboldened to go into the temple where he knows he shouldn't be, and he eats. And he begins to think of his former days, and he begins to enjoy the company of idol worshippers. And through thy knowledge shall thy weak brother perish. That word perish means everlasting destruction, for whom Christ died. But when you so sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. When you offend a brother, you cause them to stumble, you are displeasing God. You sin against Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul next shows us how the mature Christian, and if you're not a mature Christian, I hope you're longing to be one and working at it and praying for it, because if not, we're going to offend. And if we offend, how can they be saved? Wherefore, if meat, food, make my brother to stumble, I will eat no flesh, no meat while the world stands, lest I make my brother to offend or be stumbled. He's not talking about being a vegetarian, because being a vegetarian could stumble someone too. He's not talking about those things. He's talking about using his freedom, and he knows it's good for him, but it may lead someone else into sin. He says, I will not eat a certain food anymore. I will not go to a certain place anymore. Give no offense. For when we offend a brother or sister, we sin against Christ. When we offend others, we offend Christ. Friends, there's so much offense given now in places that are called Christian church, that's unbelievable. I'm taking you to one church in Australia, the Gosford Anglican Church, who put this on their sign. Jesus had two dads, and he turned out okay. Okay? It's an Anglican church, it's an apostate church. Jesus had two dads, and he turned out okay. From the same church, congratulations, Adam and Steve. The marriage equity, right? Same church. Tony and Bill, join hands and repeat after me. It's offensive. They're causing people to stumble, causing Christians to stumble. Paul said, my eating a certain meat can cause a brother to stumble and perish. Certainly this can too. Okay? Why is it like this? Well, notice this sign. Thank you for the 10,000 Facebook likes. We want to be people pleasers. We want to be politically correct. Jonathan Edwards, the great Puritan preacher, revivalist, said, and of course, you know, we Christians, we look down upon churches like the Gosford Anglican Church. Oh, they're so apostate. Friends, we, as James says, we offend all. We give offense. Jonathan Edwards said, the greater the mercy of God is, the more should you be engaged to love him and live to his glory. But it has been contrarywise. He's speaking to his church. It has been contrarywise with you. The consideration of the mercies of God being so exceedingly great is the thing wherewith you have encouraged yourself in sin. You use the grace of God to go on in your sin. You have heard that the mercy of God was without bounds, that it was sufficient to pardon the greatest sinner, and you have upon that very account ventured to be a very great sinner, though it was very offensive to God. Though you heard that God infinitely hated sin, and that such practices as you went on in were exceedingly contrary to his nature, will, and glory, yet that did not make you uneasy. You heard that he was very merciful God, and had grace enough to pardon you, and so cared not how offensive your sins were to you. And then the Gosford and Anglican Church put this on their sign: wishing our Muslim friends a holy Ramadan. Friends, those are not our wishes for Muslim people. And then to top it off, they said this: we are a mosque. Imagine that. We are a mosque. Okay. And here's the pastor, isn't he? Just want a big, big, nice teddy bear. You want to give him a hug, right? Maybe a kick in the pants, I think. Right. But you know, this is spreading around. Churches are becoming, Christians are becoming more offensive, not just in the embracing of homosexuality, okay, and things like that, but we keep giving offense. Here's from the Columbia Brigid Roman Catholic Church: Jesus had two dads and he turned out just fine. First Presbyterian Church: Jesus had two dads and he turned out fine. St. John's United Methodist Church: Jesus had two dads and he turned out just fine. And then from a church right here in Wanta, the Wanta Memorial Congregation Church: Jesus had two dads and he turned out just fine. I'm going to read to you something from the Wanta Memorial Congregation Church. We affirm that all persons are children of God. Therefore, all who desire to follow Christ and be a part of Christ's community are welcome into the full life and ministry of our congregation, regardless of age, race, gender, identity, and expression, sexual orientation, okay, ethnic background, physical and mental ability, sure, but gender identity, expression, and sexual orientation, yes. That's why they said Jesus had two dads. It turned out just fine. Friend, let's be careful when we look down upon churches like this, and we should. Definitely, these are heathen temples now. The Apostle Paul, when he said, give no offense, writing to the Christian church, not to these churches. The gospel is offensive enough without people hearing our complaining, without people seeing our sin, without people seeing our stinginess and our laziness and our lack of love. So all you got to do, show little love and you offend. But more than offending that person who cannot be saved, when they're offended, we offend God. Stephen Clark Gold writes in Heartwarming Bible Illustrations, the media shout, courage! He's talking about a young woman that was the valedictorian of high school, and she wanted to talk about God. She was told not to, but she didn't listen. The media shout courage when the abortionists, homosexuals, radical feminists, etc., shove it in our faces. They whine when a little Christian girl discusses her faith and priorities. The world is not listening to the church because the church is not talking. We have ceased preaching because we no longer have fire in our bones. Pulpits deliver feel-good sermonettes to Christianettes while the church dies. Should not someone rattle our cages? Everything we believe in is offensive. God is offensive. Jesus is offensive. Truth is offensive. Preaching is offensive. The Bible is offensive. It's true. Good morning, church. Is anyone reading? Let us wake up before our meeting houses become our tombs. Movements begin in caves and die in cathedrals. How true that is. We cannot settle for life support Christianity. What has become of the Great Commission? Thank God for that little girl in DeSoto, Texas. Friends, the Bible, the cross, the truth, Jesus, it's all offensive. Therefore, we must not add to it, because God's word can save. We are commanded to adorn the doctrines of God. Jesus said, woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man or woman by whom the offense cometh. Woe to the world, but woe to those, and I say especially those who call themselves Christians and yet cause people to stumble. woe to him. A greater judgment will be upon that person. So we conclude here again with this scripture. Give none offense, no one, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit. All a non-believer has to do is see you living for self, and they will be offended and lost. All a Christian has to do is see you putting yourself first, and they will be offended, and they will perish. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, of others, that they may be saved. I trust we heed the word of God today. Let's pray. Father, have mercy upon us. Because we all stumble. We all are imperfect. And yet, Lord, you said that the perfect man should be able to bridle his tongue and bridle his desires and his lusts, bridle his thoughts. And Lord, we are to work on this diligently, because when we're not doing that, we're living for ourselves. Your word says, if we be risen with Christ, seek not those things that be on the earth, but seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. And Lord, if we are seeking our own life, we will cause people that we love, that we're praying for, that we want to be saved, we will bring damnation upon them. How can they be saved if we offend them again and again, stumble them again and again? Oh God, have mercy upon us. Wake up this church, Lord. Wake up your people everywhere to this fact, to this truth, Lord. Wake us up, Lord, that we give none offense. Pray this in the name of Jesus, for through Christ it is possible that you live your life in us, that we grow mature, as the Apostle Paul said, I will eat no meat if it causes my brother to be offended, as long as the world is standing. Oh, may we not cause another to stumble. Show us, Lord, where we have. And may we be courageous enough to repent of that and seek better things. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May God bless you and keep you as we enter into another year.